email ray@rte.ie. The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Now, joined in studio by Dylan McGrath. Are you still a celebrity chef, Dylan?
I don't know. I'm not around. I don't know anymore, but I am.
Wasn't that that was the buzzword, wasn't it?
Wasn't it just?
About 20 years ago,
I know,
we were introduced to celebrity chefs.
And nobody wanted to be called it.
Was that it?
Yeah, I think so.
Because you just wanted to do your job.
That's it, that's it. But yet you use the media as well, so it's all part of it, isn't it?
Yeah, you're playing the game.
Well, it's important that you're keeping the place busy and you know, you're working hard and you know, you've got a lot of people relying on you in your own restaurants as well. So
so you have to do what you have to do.
Thanks for having me on.
Yeah.
Good to see you.
Yeah. So Dylan McGrath, Secret Service. And it starts on Virgin Media One next Wednesday at 9 o'clock, and I've seen a number of the episodes and I really enjoyed it. It's a programme with a big heart, and I think it's an important programme as well.
Okay.
Just explain to people what it is.
So it's a programme. I was asked by Shinna Will, who I'd done a bit of work before, and they said, would you be interested in this idea where we would bring in people who were, we would call them marginalised, from different backgrounds, and bring them into your business and see how they cope.
You can say, you don't need to come into that. You can just, if you can sit back and the mic. We've good microphones in here.
Good man, good man. And yeah, so we brought them into the business. They were with us for about 6 weeks, and they're a fantastic bunch, different backgrounds, and then they cook a final meal. Where we invite a restaurant full of people and they cook a service. And there was a huge amount of work went into it. And it was amazing to watch them develop over the weeks.
Yeah. So we had Lisa Marie, who's a settled traveller.
Right.
Luke, who was diagnosed with Asperger's.
Right.
And has other challenges as well. Fiona, who has Down syndrome. Rosine is living in, is it Rosie or Rosine?
Rosie.
Rosie. She lives, she was in direct provision in Newbridge, originally
right.
from Cameroon.
She's a fascinating backstory.
And Stephen, who was sort of on his way out of prison.
Right,
yeah.
Right. So I didn't know the bunch. Shout out to Adele, who was the producer on this, and she did a phenomenal job picking really interesting characters, and it's funny to watch them all together and bouncing off each other.
And these people, and the stats tell us, that, that all the groups that they're from find it very difficult to get work.
Yeah, I mean, work is pretty much off the page for them, you know. It's hard to really understand, and that was one of the things that drew me to the challenge of it was, you know, what is it to not work or to be told that you can't work? Because we all gather our self-esteem on knowing where that due north is. What are we running after? I know in my life, like work, I'd be lost without my work. So the idea that you can't work or you can be told that you can't work, let's explore that and have that conversation. So I like that about the programme. I love the fact that they were all from different challenges and then just watching them rise to the occasion because, it, I mean, you know, hospitality is a tough business.
Well, I've seen it on telly, you know. I've never worked in it.
But you've had enough of us on to know.
It's no joke.
And it's such a demanding profession.
And it's very much a team thing, and it's only as strong as the weakest link, isn't that
right? And it's all about attitude and how you fit in. Mm. So if you're going to turn up and you've got a good attitude and you want to fit in and you're prepared to do the long days and put the effort in, then, I mean, that's what I do for a living. We're constantly looking at staff. Will they make it? Won't they make it?
And what is, how do you spot that?
Well, first of all, it's given somebody the opportunity. We were an industry in crisis before the pandemic. So once the pandemic kicked in, it was just chaos. I mean, you were turning up and there were seven people ringing in sick with COVID and half your staff had left.
Why were we in crisis before COVID?
Because the industry is just so many restaurants open.
Right.
So many jobs were all trying to fill, skilled people, and they're not there.
Okay.
So there
was a demand for what you were doing, but you couldn't get the staff.
There's always a demand in hospitality for good people and for people to come and to have the right attitude and to train and to fit in. So that's an ongoing thing. Anybody in hospitality will tell you that is their biggest issue. So we deal with that anyway. So the idea that these guys would come from even, you know, more obscure backgrounds, even bigger challenges and to throw them into the mix And fair play to them. They played a blinder. And then for my team to welcome them in as well and sort of say, right, look, let's be patient with these bunch and see, could they make it? Yeah. So it was really entertaining.
You seem to enjoy it because you were introducing them to things that, and I could see it in you, that you were remembering when you were first introduced to things like, you know, opening up a scallop or, you know, cooking a lobster for the first time and, you know, and the joy you get from what you do.
100%. And in a lot of ways, cooking saved me, you know, even in my own life, that it gave me something to be passionate about. It gave me something to be creative, gave me something that I could throw myself into and develop. And that was massively important for my own growth. And it wasn't until I got sick and my back, and that was publicized as well. But just that I had to sit with myself and I couldn't work. That was
like 2016,
that was a challenge.
2016, 2017, around there.
Right. And I learned a lot about myself then. And when that's taken off you, and you don't have your work, and you don't know where north is, you know, your attitude changes, and your own stability in your own head.
We'll talk about that maybe in a moment. But first, they were all brilliant, and it worked out. And the final, the big meal that they had to work on was a charity event, and all of the various charities that were associated with the five people,
right?
They benefited from that, which was a lovely thing,
right?
And
right.
We got to see the spokespeople, and
we got to see the work that the charities do.
Yes.
And the amount of effort that they put into building these people,
yeah.
And their own attitudes towards how much encouragement they need, and I think they do phenomenal work. I think they were the real stars of the show.
Yeah, like I'm just thinking, Stephen, 51, you know. Ex-prisoner, very difficult at that age and with a prison record, you know, to get employment.
Right.
But he was a strong man, good team player, great attitude.
Right. And that's it. It's saying, you know, I messed up in the past. Give me another chance.
Yeah.
He had a bit of bakery experience. So he was a baker in his younger life. And he took to the kitchen, tried really hard, had a bit of leadership skills, wanted it really badly, wanted to be left alone to work and to fit in with the rest of the guys. And like, what do you say about that attitude?
It was interesting that you say leadership qualities, because he actually said that he wasn't good at delegating.
Right.
And yet, you know, I think sometimes we have these talents and skills that we don't recognise in ourselves. Other people recognise them in us, you know, which is Fiona is just lovely and just
she's
loves chatting to people.
Yeah. And her enthusiasm just comes across so well, you know, and everything she did. And she was just a joy for the team to have her as well. She was brilliant.
And Lisa Marie, brilliant attitude.
And her and Stephen, the crack out of the two of them. They didn't stop slagging each other from one start to the next.
It's well worth a watch. Dylan McGrath's Secret Service, and it starts on Virgin Media One next Wednesday at 9 o'clock. Now, you were saying there that you had to sit with yourself, because the last time we spoke was 2018.
I think we were on the telly, weren't
we? Yes, we were on the telly. And you had been, I think it was 18 months, was it, that you were...
Even when COVID kicked in, I was grand because I'd already done... Nearly 2 years on my own. I couldn't get out of the bed. Now, I had my family and stuff, but work was not an option. And I didn't know if I was going to get out of it, if I'm honest.
And it was the back. And it was that
it? Was the back. The lower back discs had dissolved into my nervous system, was how it was described to me. And then I got some syndrome. And the worst thing about a syndrome means they don't know what it is.
Right.
So I was just not coordinating properly. And... For somebody like me who's a bit obsessive in his work, and you know, we work really hard, to be told that I couldn't, and for me physically not to be able to do it.
And was it related to the ravages of working in the kitchen and being on your feet?
I think so. I think it was burning the candle at both ends for too long, you know. It was part of it.
Like, say when you had Mint there in Ranelagh.
I was a complete workaholic.
What was the day like? How many hours were you doing on your feet?
Was it 16, 17? Sometimes, you know. It was just crazy stuff. And I'd done 10 years before that.
Yeah.
So I'd been in kitchens in London working in some of the toughest kitchens, and you didn't do it by half. Like, you gave yourself to it. And you were obsessed and in love with it, or else you didn't do it.
Yeah, and it wasn't normal standing, because I remember watching you and the intricacies of the dishes you were doing back then. Remember, it was all that.
Right, of course.
So your upper body was tense, was it, doing this little...
Yeah, and it was a constant
intricacy.
Push yourself, you know, and you had to dig deep, you know, you constantly, and even the guys that do it today, like, I mean, it hasn't changed that much. It's a very demanding profession. I think menus have changed now. Where they, you know, they have these tasting menus where there's a lot more of everybody having the same thing.
Aha, uh-huh. That's
which
easier.
Is taking a lot yes, of the stress out of when you had six starters, six main yeah, courses, yeah. and six desserts.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was just hellfire to get it out. You know. Yeah. But a great profession, and you know.
And do you see?
I don't regret any of it.
Well, yeah, well, I'm interested to know. Do you see a trajectory in the sort of the career of a chef? Like every chef's different, obviously. But right. you know, so you came at that the Michelin star right. at a certain age.
I was
you know,
young. Yeah.
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 And you were fired up. I remember meeting you. Like you were.
Yeah.
Like,
no, I was relentless.
you, yeah, just,
obsessive.
You were. On.
And you have to be a bit like that.
Yeah.
You know, you have to be in love with it because you wouldn't do it.
And
to push your body like that as well, and a perfectionist. You
yeah.
know, and a bit tormented.
Yes.
You know, and all that. You know, and I think there's a great. I'm a great believer in not betraying your younger self either. You
no,
know,
no, think, yeah, yeah.
I think you need that when you're young, you know, and then you learn to control it as you get older. You get a little bit, you learn a few lessons and you get a little bit wiser, you know.
Yeah.
And then you develop more tools in the toolbox than just a hammer, you know.
And of course, then you have the benefit of experience.
Right.
You know, because
right.
you've been there before and you know how to achieve things, that,
right.
don't you?
Of course,
yes,
of yeah, course, yeah. of course. And there's still a part of me loves that. And you know, we're in development with the guys and I have the younger team and younger people with me. And I've developed businesses as well that, you know, are creative and approachable. And we try to work with the best suppliers and we try to do everything right, you know.
Yeah.
And it's different.
So tell me about not betraying your younger self.
Right.
Is that... That sounds like something out of therapy or something like that.
No, well, I believe in, you know, when you look back at the energy that was necessary in order to achieve those things. And then as you get older, it's like I'm still in love with food. So I'm still passionate about flavor and I'm still passionate about developing as a person. But I don't push myself to the lengths that I did in my 20s because you're physically not able.
Yes.
Not only the situation you have at your back. And you look back and you go, was that necessary? You know?
And then the answer is?
Yes.
Yes.
yes. Because as you get older, you learn to control it. And you learn to be better about it and how to hopefully see it in other people and hopefully inspire them as well that they might be a bit smarter with it than you were.
Yeah, so you see yourself in younger chefs.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's natural if you don't.
No,
and I think anybody that's done that sees it, yeah.
And what's the emotion then? Is it envy or is it recognition
envy.
Or you know what I mean? Like, I suppose the question is: do you miss being a Michelin star chef? Do you miss that?
No, I still am drawn to that type of food, and I really appreciate it. There's a side of me could easily do it again. You know, because you need to have something to run after as a human and you need to be constantly setting yourself goals and challenges.
Mm.
And when you conquer certain things, you still want to achieve. That's part of my character.
Yeah,
that's part
yeah.
of my nature.
You're
so
driven.
Never say never, you know,
yeah,
there's
yeah.
every likelihood that I do it again. But
yeah,
at the minute we're focused on what we're doing.
Yeah.
You know.
In watching the programme, there's a more mellow Dylan McGrath.
Right.
On offer. That's
okay.
your current offering.
sort of, current Amos Bush.
Yeah, it's a sort of mellow Dylan McGrath. And so looking back on a less mellow Dylan McGrath, and there were moments there when it was quite public, you know, and how do you feel about those moments? How do you feel about those?
Well, I think it's important to remain authentic and to be yourself. And to not too worry too much about, you know, anything other than your own family and developing and growing as a human and constantly setting yourself challenges so that you're developing. When you become a business owner, you realize that, you know, a lot of people rely on you and you rely on them.
Mm.
So your priorities change.
Uh-huh.
When you're a young guy,
yeah,
and it's
yeah,
all
yeah.
about the turbot
yeah.
and it's all about the perfection of whether that coriander is long enough,
yeah.
you know, and you're driven by that insanity. And
yes.
I worked with people who brought that out of you.
Yeah.
And it was tough and you became tough.
Yeah.
And in order to survive, but what are you going to look back at your younger self and sort of say, oh, you were a bit too tough,
yeah.
but you had to be tough or else you'd have got kicked out. So, you know, where's the balance?
It is, there you go. When you're professional perfectionism,
right,
can appear quite ugly sometimes, can't it?
Right.
Because you have to be tough on the people around you to achieve
it. Yes, this is true. And I think that the industry has had a look at itself and created a bit more awareness around that. See, there's a fine line between getting your ass kicked, if I can say that, and being too tough on people, for the wrong reasons.
How do you strike the balance?
Well, you've got to understand people and understand what the objective is. Is it about somebody developing and getting better for the greater good of the team? Or is it about your indulgence and what you want? Because if it's that, that's not good, and it's never good. But if it is always about bringing the best from people and kicking it where it needs to be so that the team are under pressure, because you don't grow in the comfortable. You grow in the uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And I think when you understand that about the human condition, it's really important that that's the mood that we set. Of course, lines are crossed and mistakes are made, all in pursuit of perfection. And anybody who runs after that will tell you that. But at the same time, when you mature as a human, you realise, for me, I do believe it was always about growth and development of people. We all make mistakes, but ultimately, it's about whether or not you're growing as part of a team.
Yeah, you're shifting in your chair there. How is the back?
It's good.
Is it? Yeah.
It's good. I have a little routine. I get up in the morning and I have all sorts of stretches.
Right.
I have a little skipping routine and I have a maintenance job, but I'm able to stand on my feet for a good 10-12 hours a day, which is huge progress from where I was.
Yes.
But I'm still working on it because I need my full upright self in order to do my job. And we work really hard. So we're still pushing ourselves. We're just careful about it.
Do you mind me asking your age?
Oh, 45 now, yeah. Eh?
So you
cracking on.
But you want to be doing this for another 15 years or so, yes, at least.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes.
So,
no, yeah.
So you have to, it's maintenance there and it's, yeah.
Yes, yes. No, and I've been to everything, chiropractors and injections and... life just keeps sending you challenges. It's just about conquering
them. And the back it's a pain, obviously. It's a pain in the back because it affects everything, doesn't it?
Right.
Doesn't it? Right. Like, it's there. I was just reading today, I don't know if you read it, but they've done a study on all the things that people would think would be painkillers to do with the small of the back, and none of them work.
Right.
So they've discovered this. You should read that. But you've been through the ringer, haven't you? You were on the serious stuff.
Yeah. Well, that's what's recommended to you. You know, when you're going through that sort of pain, and it's very easy to say, right, okay, take these, and then you think, right, well, how long am I going to be taking these? Because this isn't a good idea, you know. And then it's like, right, okay, so what do I have to do to actually live, no painkillers, and what does that look like and feel like, and how do I get there? So again, another challenge, but well worth it. There's a lot to be said for feeling healthy and feeling strong, and when you appreciate it more.
Exactly. So you've come out of it. You've come out the other side. 100%. A stronger person.
100%.
Yeah. I'll give it another recommendation because it needs to be recommended. The program Dylan McGrath Secret Service starts on Virgin Media One Wednesday, yesterday week at 9 o'clock. And it's a great programme with a big heart. And Dylan, thanks so much for coming in. Good to hear Dylan McGrath. Best meal experience ever was in Mint several years ago. Any Michelin restaurant experience since has never measured up. There you go. Isn't it? Yeah. Dylan made a point of speaking to every table on the night. Very impressive, says Marie. And then somebody else says, I'm head chef in a restaurant in Munich, working in the kitchen for 38 years. I've just finished work for the day and I'm at the gym. You have to stay fit. Yeah, because that's Paul. I remember you saying to me that you were in the gym 3 or 4 times a week when you were trying to.
Yeah, still am. And that's it. And it's consistency. And I always chased after consistency in the work, but it's consistency in the body too, and in the mind. It's all necessary if you're going to make it out alive.
I know it's boring, but it's about routine, Dylan. Yeah, it's boring as hell, but that's what it is. And if you can squeeze all these things into a routine, then it becomes habit, and then it's not a big chore anymore because it's just what you do. Anyway, great to see you in such
great
good health.
To see you,
good
right.
mood. Thanks,
good
Dylan.
Man.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.